Cowboy shit, cowboy shit, cowboy shit. Tim and Joel, call it in the ring. What up?
Dude, the first like 2 minutes, you've already got us taken out of the algorithm with your swearing. What's wrong with you?
No, the TV people say shit's okay now.
They say it a lot. It basically was the point of last night's show was just for them to use expletives after expletives. There was so much swearing.
Well, you got to get you paid good money for pay-per-view. You're going to get what you deserve. Cussing.
If I'm Danhausen, I would be on them all day just reminding them, no swearing. But instead, we had them dropping F-bombs, dropping that S-bomb. Listen, who am I? I was dropping them same bombs on our watch along at twitch.tv/fightfulgames.
Speaking of bombs, there may be one in the building next door to me. So
we'll see. Maybe we'll have breaking news on the air while we're talking about the show last night. But yeah. If you want some breaking news from us, how about you toss a thumbs up on the video? If you're watching after the fact and the news is already out, you can leave a comment. Comments are nice. We like comments. Like good ones and bad ones. I don't care. You can call us a bunch of shitheads. I don't care. Just go ahead and leave a comment.
Dare you.
And while you're here, subscribe to the channel. Because guess what? Subscribing to the channel is a good thing. We also have a Discord. There's a link in the video description. We talk about wrestling. We talk about sports. We talk about music. We talk about food. We talk about all the stuff. So you should come and join us over at the Discord. There's a link in the video description. And by the way, we have a Streamlabs where you can donate to us, which we don't really talk about. We don't promote it so much, Tim. But it does exist. And I think it's what? Streamlabs.com/TimandJoelPod?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad we're here and I'm glad that you had your input on that one. Mod Mike, yes, got the 2 pay-per-views for AEW, predicted them perfectly. Well done. Congratulations. I did my best. And so did you. How'd you do in this, Tim?
Not great.
No?
I mean, we got the big stuff, but nah.
What was the most shocking outcome from last night's show before we get into it to you? From everything that you had predicted or expected, was there something that happened that you didn't expect?
Super Click losing.
Really?
Yeah, I really didn't. Again, Adam Cole, I thought, I don't know, the way they're treating CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, I expected Super Click to win.
That's valid. I think I share that. I think we all talked about Super Click winning. We expected Adam Cole to get the pin on Christian, but that didn't happen. So, all right, that's fair.
I mean, it feels like this feud's just going to keep going forever and go nowhere.
Well, the crux of the feud is how violent can Jungle Teen get?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His newfound bloodlust with his Wrong Way Concerto.
But hey, listen, it looked brutal and it looked good and I was all about it.
It looked great. I just don't understand. Twice, they oriented the chairs so it was like chair top to legs on the ground. And it's just weird to me. I don't know.
Listen, for all we know, there's a safer way to do it. There we go.
More
surface. You had 45 points. Tim got 33. I got 39. Good enough. I'll take it. And next week we do it all over again, but it's a different show altogether. Because guess what? We get try and coexist, Tim.
Yeah. Don't care.
You ready for coexistence season? I know you are.
It's so unimportant. What's the next pay-per-view after this one?
Day one. There's no December pay-per-view.
What is day one?
It's literally the first day of the year. It's January 1st.
That's so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not cowboy shit right there. Whatever.
No, but let's hop into it, cowboy shit. We have a new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, much to the surprise of nobody, but no. Also
again,
a
the coronation story that pays the off. Coronation of Adam Page last night. Very nice. Exactly. Very, very sweet. Less to do about it than I expected. Like the Dark Order came out eventually, including Anna Jay, who came out for Hangman, but not for Ty Conti.
Gotta pick your spots, brother.
I guess, yeah.
I think if Ty had won, she would have come out and celebrated with her there. But since she didn't, she's like, I don't know.
I don't want to be associated with losers.
This loser here. I don't want to be around this. No, instead we had a pretty big opening to the match where they had Hangman coming in on a horse and they did the whole, like the video screens projected on the buildings. Like they made a whole hoopla leading into his entrance. But you're right, coming out of it when he won the title, again, I think the pop was what everyone was wanting to remember.
Yeah.
Didn't make sense to do like a full pyro display to drop.
The confetti. No, I don't want that. I just want
to. They can do. And also, they can do that on Wednesday in Dynamite because they'll be in his home state.
True. Which is even better. Let's save it for Dynamite. I'm fine with that. I think that's makes a lot of sense.
When MJF comes out and then rolls him up and gets the three counts. Oh, Louis Dangor somewhere laughing his brains out.
My God.
Hashtag for the heat. That was what we were going for last night. We did not get it. But let's go through the rest of the show.
All right.
The buy-in. We opened up. It was a tag match. I don't think you got to see it.
Nope.
But there was a segment, and then there was the match. There was the match itself was Sheeta and Thunder Rosa taking on Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose. It was, again, a good match. And Sheeta won. She got the pin over Nyla Rose. So there you go. Maybe a sign of things to come in the next round of the TBS tournament. Or maybe it's going to be 50-50 and Nyla Rose is going to pick up a very dominant victory when they match up in a couple of weeks. Or actually, I think it's this week on Dynamite for Sheeta and Rose.
Yeah.
A very good match, nonetheless.
All right, it's fine. I don't need to see that for the thousandth time.
They used your favorite weapon in the match, by the way.
Oh, a kendo stick. Okay.
You bet. Vicky using a kendo stick on Sheeta while there was a distraction going on. Serena Deeb was there. They were jaw-jacking. It was the whole thing. There was a little bit of shenanigans, which, you know, I wish they didn't do that. But this was a fun match. It was a good opener. The right people won. You got to get your crowd hot because you got to get your faces winning. That's the way it is. Earlier in the buy-in, they had Dante come out and have an interview with Tony Schiavone. And how come
was he sad?
No, he was happy because he was at home.
Wow. Oh, that's nice.
I think Tony Khan, who has put Dante Martin in like every situation imaginable while he's been at home, they told him, like, don't mess with him this time. So he went out, did his thing, talked. Now come the Acclaim. They do their little rap thing, and then they ask him to join the Acclaim. They're like, hey, what about the three of us? And Dante's like, no, GFY. And then hops through the ropes, does the flippy thing, goes for a top rope, kind of a flip thing, and the Acclaim does not catch him. Just Dante just lands flat on his ass, and I felt so bad.
It happened a few times last night. Some people just ass to mat.
You got to get better about that stuff. Wrestlers in general, it's not an AEW thing. It's a general thing. It happened in NXT a couple weeks ago when we saw Caster land on his back and ass. It wasn't good.
There's even less excuse for that because there was like 30 people around.
That's right.
It was like a bystander effect, you know? Everyone else assumed that everyone else was going to get in there.
Yeah. So it wasn't really that. They ended up, people going away, people just leaving the territory when you go for that fall. Can't do that. You got to catch your people. And yes, the whole night was full of Eddie Guerrero tributes. We're going to talk about that very shortly because we opened the show with MJF and Darby Allin. So my favorite entrance of the night, Tim, was yours as well. Darby Allin comes in and he's got his car and his indie art house film, and he flips his car.
He did flip his car off that poorly concealed ramp.
Oh, that's right. The second angle actually really put it away, didn't they?
Yeah. It's fine. Not it's okay. Great. You need a ramp.
comes out in his KGB outfit, his long green coat for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's cold in Minneapolis last night.
apparently it was snowing, and we haven't gotten that yet here. It's only a matter of time, I guess. Skateboards and MJF and Sting comes out, and it's actually a very good match. I think exceeded all of our expectations.
It really did. Like, there was some stuff that was, I kept calling, they put together a fancy little ballet because there was some overproduced stuff there that was bordering on the Super Kick City. But overall, I don't know, one of the best matches of the night. Like, it was very, very, very good.
It was. I very much enjoyed watching some of those convoluted spots and just saying, I don't know why we're doing this, but
yeah, the very first one with the like pinfalls where they're like holding hands and literally like doing like a mat dance was just a bit like, okay, guys,
that felt a little much. And then they kicked it into high gear and they started going with, you know, more high impact moves. They started with trying for the coffin drop. They went for, there was that, Oh, that tombstone, not the pile driver on the ring apron.
Yeah.
Was that towards the end of the match?
MJF does it, and then he jams his knee, and that's a big part of the story too. I think he had hurt his knee before that too. Hurt his knee. I liked them adding that into the story. I think MJF's bum knee in this was a pretty good little thread that just added to the drama of it all.
I saw someone noted on Twitter that if MJF wrestled like this weekly, he would be a face in no time. And I agree with that.
Which is why he doesn't wrestle frequently.
That's right.
You save it. You save it for the good stuff. Because I love watching MJF wrestle, and he just doesn't do it that much. It's good.
They hit all the moves. There was a code red. There was a stunner. There was everything. And then out came... Oh, by the way, Darby Allin stealing everybody's moves from Impact. Did the this or and from NXT UK did the Stun Dog Millionaire, and then did the Rosemary the spot where she's on her knees but she's laid back and she does the zombie thing. Come on, stop stealing stuff, Darby. What are we doing here?
Next, he'll be out there biting people. He probably already has bits and people. He looks like a biter. That one.
He does. You got to be careful with Darby. He's going to bite you when you least suspect it. Wardlow comes out. Noted chair pervert Sean Spears comes out. Sting takes them out. They use the skateboard. And then are they not going to use the skateboard? They do the whole John Cena give in to hatred angle. There you go. They stole another one. And
I mean, they stole that from the bad Star Wars prequels. So whatever.
That's true. Give in to the hate. Anyway. So they've got the skateboard in Darby's hands. MJF is on the ring, on the ground, and he's like, hit me, hit me, hit me. Referee's like, don't do it. And then eventually Bryce takes
it. No, he's like, don't do it, hit me.
It's very strange. The Bryce Remsburg, the referee, takes it away, walks away. And as he's walking away, he's got his back turned to the action. What happens next? The Dynamite Diamond Ring, which, by the way, I didn't see him take it out. So it felt a little strange.
Then it's shorts.
But it's such a tiny ring. Like, it's not brass knucks.
No, it is not brass knucks. It's a difficult thing to prop. I don't know. Give him something else.
Gets the win with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. MJF goes over Darby Allin. Again, I think a lot of people are expecting MJF to start building towards another world championship opportunity. What do you think?
As he should, very much so, yes. I think that's why I picked him when we were talking about it on our last show. Because I think they need to start building him towards that, and that's the ultimate goal. But I mean, I don't know what we're doing because of other things, but we'll get to that.
Yes, we will. The World Tag Team title match was next. By the way, in the first hour, they gave everybody, they gave you everything. It was hard. There were lulls towards the end of that night. And
Yeah,
a little difficult. But the AEW World Tag Team title match, we had Lucha Bros taking on FTR. This, again, another great match, a very convoluted, confusing finish that I personally wasn't a big fan of. I don't know how you
felt. Yeah, with the Lucha mask where we're supposed to be like, oh, one of them's not the legal man. And it's just FTR's horniness for the rules of tag team wrestling that made this you could just tell it's like, oh, but they're not the legal man. It's like, y'all screwed that up so much. I don't care who's the legal man and hadn't for 10 minutes leading up to that finish. If you care this much about the rules of tag team wrestling, you probably should have been adhering to them up until that moment so that I knew who the legal man even was, because they pinned Cash,
yeah,
and Dax was supposed to be the legal man, and now we're just going to continue this feud over that, when it's I didn't know and I didn't care. You should have been sticking to the rules right up to the finish for that. Then
I think you nailed it on the head. It is exactly that. They had an entire match that had nothing to do with tagging in and out. It wasn't about the science of tag team wrestling, and
no,
they did all the moves. The match was really pleasing to watch. They really worked hard. I cannot stress that enough. A very fun match, which is what you get. But if your storytelling is that we want to lead to the wrong guy getting pinned, and in traditional tag rules, this is wrong. They didn't really build to it right. And then the referee didn't care. And then JR was shitting on it the entire time. It was hard when everything was against you with the story you're trying to tell.
Yeah, exactly. Like they just, I don't think they thought enough about what they knew where they wanted to get to, but just did whatever in between. And there were a lot of high spots, a lot of good spots. There were some missed spots too, which I'm only criticizing here, not because this match wasn't tremendous, but because I'm going to be criticizing some missed spots in other matches. And like, there was one where, I think Phoenix jumps off. No, is the other way around. No. Phoenix jumps off, stomps on Dax's butt. And then Penta waits for a while and then does the pile driver. And it's just like, oh, so I guess that was just a step on your butt. And then like, it wasn't to make the impact of the pile driver more significant. It was just to bruise his butt a little, or Phoenix doesn't weigh that much.
I mean, listen, Phoenix isn't exactly the heaviest man in the world, especially yeah. in that match. He was the lightest one of the bunch easily.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, really good match. Like, you know, a lot of hard hitting spots. But I agree with you. Like you said, they did not do the work to earn that finish and have it make sense.
They'll run it back in AAA for the tag titles there. And that's fine. It's just that they didn't have the right ingredients last night to make it as impactful as they may have expected it to be. Now, this one is the one that threw everybody off. The world title eliminator final, and everyone was thrown off going into it because, of course, Moxley had to pull out, and they replaced him with Miro. Miro goes to the final to take on the Americanson, Dragonson, Danielson, Bryanson, who gets the victory in this.
This match surprised me in a few ways. It wasn't as interesting as I expected it to be. It really felt like a lot of Miro matches. And it just didn't. I thought they'd have more chemistry and they just didn't. And the very much wrong person won.
Now, you were under the impression that Miro was going to win. I was too. Yeah. At the same time, I think a lot of people were thinking had Moxley been in this this final, it would have been Moxley who won. And it would have been Moxley who challenged Hangman for the title. Now, what does an American Dragon versus Hangman match look like?
Basically just Brian talking about how much better of a technical wrestler he is, and they go at it in the spirit of loving competition.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, at the same
time, it's not a compelling story, especially yes. like,
cause they're going to have to find something to squabble about.
There's a couple of reasons why I think this might have happened. One is because having Miro win might have very much tipped the finish of the main event, but everyone knew the finish of the main event, so that's not a reasonable argument for me. The other one is that people like CM Punk and Bryan Danielson just like eat up their own hype too much. And I don't know, with these wrestling guys, I feel like a lot of them do. In my opinion, best thing that could happen was have both of them lose last night. Didn't happen for either of them. So I don't know. And I think we've weakened their ability to tell these stories because of it.
Both men, as in Brian and
Brian Miro? And CM Punk. No, Brian and CM Punk.
Brian and Punk in their respective matches. I got you.
Yeah. I think they're both a little bit up their own ass to the point where they won't lose when even it's the right decision.
I don't think that they are politicking that way.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I especially in the case of Danielson.
It just seems so weird because Danielson Hangman is not compelling to me at all. Like, I don't care.
They've got to get you there though. That's the next part. Putting the two men opposite each other in the ring, just standing there, means nothing. And that's why you have to build a story out of it. There is going to be a story that can be told, and maybe the Bucks come in and they're part of the story.
Which,
what I fear is that,
for me, but
I know. Well, what I fear is that it's going to be Brian as the outsider to the elite who are having their own problem or their own inner strife, and that takes away from having an actual match.
So we have a distracted Hangman, and that's the story. Like, can he pull it together to focus on the toughest competition he's faced to date? Like, that type kinda of thing.
And
the
undefeated
American Dragons and Danielson Bryanson. Like,
we're gonna see how that kind of plays out, but they've done face-to-face before, and it's worked and it's been good.
Yeah.
The post-media scrums, you had Brian saying, you know, I don't think that Hangman's gonna hold on to that title for long, and then you had Hangman saying, I'm gonna hold this title until the day that I die. So yeah, well, I like the dichotomy there. I like that.
And like, you know, Mox versus Hangman would have worked because it's just a tough SOB off, right? Like, it's not, that works. Whereas like, I don't know. Yes. I think Miro makes a lot more sense. Like, well, whatever.
Miro appeared to be working hurt. I mean, his leg was heavily
damaged. Was the other thing, the other argument that I thought of, because we were talking about it during the watch along last night, and it looks like he might have had a shoot injury because he not only had the kinesio tape on the back of his thigh, but it was all wrapped up, and like he was working very slow last night compared to what he, like, he's been having good matches lately, and this didn't really hold up. So
this was also a match that needed to go slow compared to the rest of the night and how it had already been. You got to look at, you know, the opening match with MJF and Darby went 100 miles an hour. The tag match went 100 miles an hour. This was one that kind of had to be a little bit more technical, a little bit more rooted in mat-based wrestling, and eventually submission. And like, the craziest thing they did was they built to that finish from the top rope. They did the DDT spot, and then he went into
which they botched.
They did. Like, they did.
Which I don't know. Like, that's the thing. You know, it has to be slower, but having someone like Danielson lead it, I expected more. Like, I expected to be a bit more compelling. And I think there were some limitations here that we don't know about.
Yeah. And then we might find out what they were. It was, it felt like a work weight heavy match. And that's fine. That was the place for it. There's one argument that can be made in storyline, and that's that Miro didn't tap out. He wasn't pinned. It seems like it was a TKO victory for Daniel.
Yeah, he went unconscious. I don't know. That was a bit odd, too. They could have built that a little bit more. I think they rushed to the finish, it felt like, there. So,
yeah, that's a good point. And again, the show did finish in the right time, but it's possible that other people went over, and so matches...
Well, I mean, the first two matches were very long.
Like, yeah, and we sat there the entire time saying that, or at least I felt, that the women's title match was not going to go longer than 8 minutes. Turns out it went 12 minutes, so... Yeah. In a game where you've got to play by the numbers and hit your spots, especially on pay-per-view where you have a time window, at least in the space of AEW, because WWE doesn't have that. They can go as long as they want because they have Peacock. Like, the deal is there. Nothing is time sensitive. Whereas on pay-per-view, you're just getting the time that you've purchased. Anyway, you have to hit your times. Yeah. And it's entirely possible that the opening matches didn't. And as a result, other matches got cut. Cut down. And we'll find out in the next few days if that's the case. Yeah. Regardless, we'll move on. Falls Count Anywhere. This is the match that you and I said was a surprising finish. Christian Cage, Jurassic Express versus Superclick. First of all, love the Cage and Jurassic Express all came out in their best denim for this match. Their finest. And then, not to be outdone, Matt and Nick Jackson and Adam Cole, baby, come out in their best pink and purples.
Very nice. Very nice pink perps.
Very, very much a fan of that. And their beards were nice and colored up for this whole
thing. Nick Jackson's beard continues to be an atrocity.
Did you like it?
No, that blonde mustache is an affront to all facial hair.
This is another match where they went absolutely wild. It was Falls Count Anywhere, but they didn't really go anywhere until the end of the match, which I appreciated.
Yeah, it got bananas. It got a sufficiently bananas. It was also a tables, ladders, and chairs match, which is fine.
Yeah, and as Evan's pointing out, the dinosaur wearing jeans with scales is hilarious. And we were talking about that on the watch along when someone in the watch along was saying that, why isn't Luchasaurus wearing jeans? And I said, well, it's not period appropriate. And then we look back and he was wearing the jeans and it was just perfect. Good old jungle jeans. Anyway, lots of fun. It was a good match. It was a lot of craziness that we got towards the end. We had your favorite weapon being used again.
Yep. Lots of slap wood. Spank wood. Let's call it spank wood.
Spank wood?
Yeah.
All right.
It makes a spanking sound. So
fine,
but it's also used for spanking at times.
You want to talk about missed spots again or missed catches again? You had Jungle Teen going for
broke his ass.
Yeah, going for some sort of dive. And
I think they were supposed to the Bucks were supposed to catch him with the trash can, and they did not.
You think they were supposed to hit, like, he was supposed to fall into the trash can?
Yeah, like, I think the trash can was supposed to break his fall, like, ass to the side of the trash can, and then the crush of that is enough to, you know, in their hands, it's enough to limit it, but I think they bailed on it.
That's a very, like, precise move to hit.
It's a big aluminum can. It's easy.
I don't know. You gotta, like,
Also, they had it in their hands. All they had to do was move it underneath them. Like,
all they had to do was catch him, but they didn't do that either.
Exactly. It's as precise as catching him. There was no extra difficulty there. They just didn't do it.
Oh, that's fine. He was okay. At least he was okay for the rest of the match. Yeah, yeah, we get towards the end where they finally move back up to the rampway for the finish. We saw the thumbtacks come out, of course, because it's a PWG super
quick match. And I was just like, wow, AEW overuses the tacks. But then this was a fight. It was fine. I liked this.
The thing is, at least they're keeping it to the same people who use the tacks.
Yes. Yeah.
If they're going to do it, it's got to be a Young Bucks match. It's got to be some sort of content with the Young Bucks to use those tacks.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me. So this time, instead of putting them on shoes, you got to put them on something else. So we put them on a giant piece of sock that we put around our legs.
Cute.
Poor Luchasaurus got it in all angles.
Again, right? Luchasaurus comes out of this looking the best out of everyone, which is so weird.
He really does. And like, he continues to show out. And unfortunately, no one is taking him as seriously as he could be.
Because he's a fucking dinosaur. Like, just drop the gimmick and the whole world can be yours. Like,
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I don't get it at all. Like, he's so talented.
He hits a shooting star press off of the stage. Very, very cool.
Very good.
The whole finish. This was, again, going back to like convoluted finishes. They had so many false finishes at the top of the ramp that I started kind of getting. I wasn't bored by it, but I was kind of like, all right, we can go home now, guys.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting way to finish the match. Everyone expected Christian to turn.
Yeah, and it, something. For the story to advance in a meaningful way at all.
Instead, we're going to have, like you were alluding to, Bloodlust Jungle Boy.
But again, it doesn't make sense. You can't turn Jungle Boy into an edgy figure. Like, nothing you're going to do with a man named Jungle Boy with, like, a beloved, like, relationship on social media and the theme song that everyone goes all that crap, like you're not going to turn him into an edgy tough guy. Like, it's just not going to happen. He also just does not have the promo chops for that yet. Like,
I think there's a build. I mean, you can fix that. And he's fixing his heel persona by growing a beard. Jungle beard. Oh my
god. Yeah, well, what beard he can.
Oh, come on. Let Patches have his fun.
It's fine. It's totally fine. And it works for him as a face, and he should remain a face. Like, I don't need to see him get hard under Christian's tutelage. Like, does not matter.
Well, speaking of getting hard, Jungle Beard takes the chair, tells Christian, I can do it.
No, Paul, let me. I can do it, Paul.
I'm old enough.
I'll do it.
Let me take him out back and shoot him. I can do it. He's my responsibility. It's like taking a bag full of puppies around the barn. So JR can definitely understand that. Instead, we have the concerto, and that's it. Matt Jackson is pinned by Jungle Beard. I'm sure this feud will continue in some way.
Seemed like it.
I hope the HFO gets involved with it.
Yeah, may as well.
We're going to start doing Super Click versus HFO versus Jungle Beard.
Three-way gang wars. Everyone get ready to rumble. Dance fight.
Fine by me. And then the match that everyone wanted to see and nobody wanted to talk about. Can they coexist? A week before Survivor Series, the American Nightmare and Pac take on Andrade, El Idolo, and Malakai Black. Tim, what did you think of this match? And was it as fun as you expected it
Pac
to be?
Pac versus Andrade was great. Good match.
We've seen it before.
Very good match. They have a lot of chemistry together. I can watch them fight. You said there were other people in and around the ring?
I'm sure there were. Arn Anderson was there, so there's that. Jose the assistant was there, so there's that. They fought.
Oh yes, Arn Anderson, the most over person in this match.
It's something else, isn't it? When he's
something else.
When the crowd is just cheering Get the Glock and telling him, you know, to take out Jose with the Glock, I don't know how to feel. I think the crowd was tired. I think the crowd was over Cody because they definitely booed
so
him.
Many boos. I mean, you, when you come out looking like a fascist clown, you gonna get booed.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, accurate.
Yeah.
Eventually, Pac does the whole I jump into Cody and Cody gets hit because I was aiming for Andrade, but I hit Cody. And again,
so fussy,
getting into the fussy fuss, and it was fine. Again, we spent most of the time in the watch along just kind of clowning on the match because there wasn't much to it for us. There were no stakes, at least for us, other than what does the crowd want to see other than an end to this match. There was nothing.
Good to hear that Cody is disliked from city to city all over America.
And I feel like that's what he wants. And we're getting there. Some people don't agree with that.
That sad promo where he's just like, I won't turn heel. I'll never turn heel. You can't make me. Like, why don't you love me? Yeah, I don't know. I think there's
more self-awareness there than we understand.
He's aware of it. I don't know. There's a stubbornness that I like. Because it's the same thing. He's using Dusty's moves.
Like, yes, he in did the match, flip-flop and he's and just, fly. You're
I'm
right.
not my dad. And it's like, yeah, you're not. You don't look like him, really. Like, you do in the face, and you got kind of a lisp. But, like, your body type's different, son. So when you do that, it looks just dumb. And then he does his brother's moves, which is like, can we just, like... Who are you? Like, what are you? You're a composite of better wrestlers.
He's a reminder that wrestling has more than one royal family.
But here's when he was younger, he had a more interesting, different, unique moveset to him. Like, before they made him into Stardust or whatever the hell he was. Like, you know, when he was just some guy in trunks and knee pads like everyone else. He had some spark there. And now it's just like, I don't know.
Was he getting over, though?
No. No one liked him. I loved him. No one else seemed to. I don't know why.
Something to think about. Yeah. The match wasn't my favorite. And I think a lot of people were just waiting for it. It could have been a Dynamite main event. I think that's what most people have said.
And it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad. Again, Pac is excellent. So,
well, that's why I'm saying a Dynamite main event and not a Rampage or, you know, Dynamite curtain jerker. Like, it was... Or a dark main event. It was just, it was there, it happened, and Cash Wheeler from FTR comes out afterwards.
For some reason, keep forgetting because apparently the Pinnacle or Andrade is purchasing the services of the Pinnacle, which I just forgot about. And Andrade eats the pin, which is the worst possible person to eat the pin in this, in my opinion. But
I like the shout out by Dan. It's that wrestling having more than one royal family should lead to Mike Bennett debuting in a feud between them because of the kingdom. It's an ROH thing. I don't know if you
understand. Oh, yeah.
No. And also Mike Bennett's royalty. Mike Bennett is royalty. Bring out him and Maria instead of the other person that they signed from Ring of Honor. We'll talk about that in a minute. Ironically, as we go into the women's championship match, Dr. Britt Baker... DM Dentist takes on Ty Conchi. Ty Conchi comes out with her most Brazilian American influenced look yet. Looked good.
It was a cool look. It was a good look. Again, I wish I knew more about her from on TV to care.
And then for some reason, Rich Ward played Britt Baker to the ring.
Yeah, I don't.
Rich Ward of Fozzy, by the way, for those who don't know, that is Jericho's Fozzy is Jericho front facing, but Rich Ward, everything creative. That's what he is. And Rich Ward's a good guitar player. He's good. He just
Sound like ass like the fill-in Fozzy guy. So
yeah, they're second guitar player. So for those who don't know, back it all out, Jericho was played to the ring completely a cappella, or not a cappella, but only guitar solo by the other guitar player from Fozzy. And the reason that happened was because Rich Ward, who was originally scheduled to do All Out, had COVID, so he couldn't come out. Instead, they ended up doing a make good for Rich Ward to come out. And yes, his Twitter handle is Duke of Metal. There's a reason for that, and I think it has to do with a show that he does, a podcast that he does.
And nothing to do with David Duke, right?
Nothing to do with David Duke. Okay, no, good. Absolutely not. I think he is much more. I you know what? I'm not going to speak
of a,
to his
less of a bootlicker.
So the match happens. Again, 12-minute match. I did set the timer because I didn't expect it to go long. I thought 8 minutes. Turns out it was 12 and a half. Just a good match, but again, a lot of interference for the sake of interference from Britt's counterparts.
Yep. I don't think it was handled well. There was some miscommunication on it, and that there were like delayed reactions to some of it, which is not a good look. And a lot of missed spots, like a lot. a lot of very distant knees.
Like, oh, that finish from Ty. That, yeah.
The go to sleep that was like a solid 2 feet away from her face.
It was not, yeah, I forget what she calls it, but it just wasn't, yeah, it didn't look good. The Ty KO, it didn't look very good. I think that was something that could have been handled better on camera. They just didn't really, they didn't work as hard as they could have to get
some almost broken necks.
Yes. Either way, they got through it. They got to the end of it. My favorite was Rebel teasing the glove.
Yeah, the big growl. She looked fierce with that makeup too.
She did. She looked great. And she's just like, it's the glove!
Everybody.
And she's growling and looking all crazy and fear. She looked feral. And then what do we got? We got to the finish. The finish was exactly that. It was feral. The Hammerlock. So this is the thing. Ty Conchi using everyone else's moves, like everyone in NXT's finish as her own move, which I love. Her love letter to NXT. And yeah, that was the match. I don't have anything else to add to it.
No, I don't know. A lot of people are talking about this in a way that I don't understand.
I mean, TK put over Ty Conchi. It seems like because Ty was an NXT, a person who left NXT and was picked up early by AEW, I think this is kind of their way to say, hey, you know, we did development better than WWE.
That's what it feels like. And it's just like
case model.
I don't know. I don't think so at all. Like, has she improved tremendously? Yes.
Yes.
Is this a success story? Not yet.
And that's the thing. It is in that she's come a long way in the last year and a half.
Yeah,
but it's not in that she's blown people away. But I had to, so I moderate the shows, the post shows for Fightful, and someone had put a comment in, which thankfully they get hidden when they're weird in nature. and it was something like, you know, oh, they should put Ty Conchi's ass on my screen for 90 minutes, and that's how Dynamite will win in the ratings. And I'm like, that's not the way.
It's not the way.
That's not how you build a women's division at all. Like, you listen, these people are beautiful, men, women, and beyond. Like, I don't care about the gender. Like, the people are good looking, and they should be on TV because they are good looking. That's Hollywood, that's athleticism, that's casting. They casted beautiful people, and that's fine, but the beauty has to also come with the work. And I'm not gonna rant about it, but I agree that there's a lot of work to be done to continue to build a person that they're trying to clearly make into a, what's the word? An example, we'll say.
Yeah.
What wasn't an example was watching CM Punk and Eddie Kingston beat the shit out of each other.
First off, tremendous start to this match with that spinning back fist.
So funny.
Slaps him down. I was very happy with that. Very happy.
How would you have felt if that was the match? Like, he just spinning back fist, and Punk is just like on the floor, out, and they don't even do the match.
I think that's what it should have been. Honestly, I think that would have been better. I would have loved that. Crowd would have hated it because, you know, they paid for live wrestling, but I don't care. That would have been a tremendous match. Like, very good narrative thread there that, like, CM Punk eats some humble pie. And Eddie Kingston finally gets to get serious.
Yeah, it was very much, as Dan points out, it was an All Japan tribute. It was very funny to watch. For anyone who's like, for anyone like us who doesn't take wrestling clearly as seriously as some do, for us it was just like, oh, he knocked him out. It was freak fight standard. And I think that's...
I mean, that happens in actual fights pretty regularly. So, like... And I mean, you know, it's not like CM Punk did well in his real fights, so...
So then this match devolves into each other flipping each other off, which I
love. So many middle fingers. Grown ass men, like in their late 30s, early 40s. Like, just middle fingers back and forth. It's like, okay. Well,
they couldn't yell at each other because you couldn't hear them, which
you could hear them.
You could put better audio into that. But anyway, instead they had to show their middle fingers to show how angry they were at each other. Just a good one. Yeah, exactly. Wait, what? Are we talking about AEW replying to Joel? Oh God. Oh, when you, we'll get
with
there.
The bad, yeah, we'll get there with the match.
We're going to
yeah.
talk about that. It was funny though. Again, a very good match. To me, the result was never in doubt. This is very much CM Punk's story, and Eddie Kingston loses nothing by losing the match.
No, because Eddie Kingston loses nothing by losing ever, but it's just like, I don't know. I'm over Punk. I stopped watching wrestling when Punk was like big shit. So I still don't really get it.
It feels like to me when Punk turns inevitably in the next, let's say 6 months, I think he'll be reinvested in CM Punk.
Yeah, I think so too. Because like he's got the mic work. That I do get. No doubt about that. And you can tell that he's also acknowledged like the conditioning just isn't there, and he's been easing himself back into it, which I appreciate. Like I respect that. This match wasn't very long, but it's been longer than the previous ones. Like he's slowly working his way back up to peak condition. It's just, yeah, I don't know. He's not telling much of a story. I don't like him on commentary. I wish he'd stop just walking out and doing the victory lap at this point, which I mean, I think he's waiting for that to be more universal. So I'm there. Yeah. We'll see how long it takes for the rest of the world to get there.
From the AEW business standpoint, they're still touring to new places.
Yeah,
and a lot of people are seeing him for the first time, so they're not going to boo him just yet. There's no reason to. It's a cash cow right now. Let's face it. Like, remember when he debuted and every single promotional material was like Punk on commentary, Punk on an interview, Punk everything but a match, unless the match was like a big match. So I hear you. I agree with you. They're building him finally as more of a wrestler. And let's not forget, CM Punk, the human, is regarded as a nice guy, but also a bit of a curmudgeonous bitch. And that's what we're going to get now when he turns. He's going to be that curmudgeon that just spits fire and people hate as a result of that.
Yeah.
And the matches will be good.
Yeah, this one was decent. It wasn't like, again, I think this pay-per-view started so strong that it just... There was a lull.
Yeah. And this match was different compared to the wrestling. Yeah. This match was a fight compared to the others, which felt more like a wrestling match. You had Punk bleeding, which they didn't, other than Adam Cole bleeding, they didn't really have much blood elsewhere on the card.
They had little bits, but yeah, not as much as you'd expect. No Cody blood.
It wasn't as gratuitous is probably what I should say. Yeah, because Cole, I think Cole nicked himself too hard. And that's
like I said, it was another Eddie tribute.
it was an Eddie tribute. So it was good. I again like the match. No, the finish was never in doubt to me. Eddie Kingston will not lose a damn thing in the defeat, and Punk just continues to climb slowly up the card and get his breath back, get his win back. Fine by me. What's not fine by me was a Minneapolis street fight, Tim. We can never talk about AEW again. Sorry. Over.
The way it started when they're all tagging in and out. And then they just realize after like 10 minutes. Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know. First of all, if the joke here is everyone is so nice in Minneapolis that they obey the rules and that is the rule of a street fight in Minneapolis, then hilarious. Bravo, congratulations. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the case. And they said... Let's ease them into it. Take them on a ride. Tell them a story. This had Chris Jericho fingerprints all over it.
Smacked of Chris Jericho.
It was a WWE match. Fine. It was very different. I'll give them that compared to the rest of the card. It just... Oh, God.
Sammy Guevara did the one thing he was supposed to do. It was excellent.
Yeah, good he did stuff. His Jeff Hardy swanton from WrestleMania 2000. On
exactly,
Scorpio
like
Sky.
Like almost the exact same thing with the same pace, same like body. It was all good though.
There were some moments. I mean, Junior Dos Santos and Jericho continued to, for some reason, match up against each other. It was just very strange. And then all the weapons that they eventually go and use, they're all very Minnesotan. So
if having professional sports teams is unique to Minnesota, but
it is. So you had the hockey stick, you had the skis. They didn't use skates. They should have used professional hockey skates.
Yeah, slit a throat, but slit a throat.
Street fight.
Street fight.
Street fight. What else did they use? The Prince symbol, by the way, Prince never stood for violence. He is currently rolling in his grave.
He was a lover, not a fighter.
That's right. And they used a football.
Got to use a football.
Sammy Guevara tosses
unique to Minnesota football is.
Tosses a football, hits the back of, I think, Dan Lambert's head.
I can't remember.
Whoever's head he hits, I tweeted something along the lines of, that is the best way a football has ever been thrown in the city of Minneapolis. And the AEW on TNT account said, yes, they basically agreed with me. And I was like,
good tweet. They patted you on the head. That's what you got.
I'll take it. I had a good moment with that. Listen, it's true. And if it's true, I'm not a football fan. Let them all complain to each other about how their Minnesota sports teams are. Right.
And then you can just mute it and, you know, run away. It's good.
Oh, yeah. There was also, did you know that the bunt kick was apparently founded in Minneapolis?
No. Why would I care? Apparently, bunt kicks are everywhere.
Apparently commentary hit you over the head with that more than they use the bunt cape pan over their own heads.
I'm really glad I didn't have to hear that. Well, you know what? Other good thing, Dan Lambert in his nicest velour tracksuit. Very heelish.
His best Tony D'Angelo cosplay was Dan Lambert's. Big fan of that. Match finishes with Jericho going for the lion salt and then waiting way too long as Junior Dos Santos gets into position so that he could punch him.
So that he could up punch him from the, like, below the apron on one leg, which is not an effective way to punch.
And then a stapler to the balls from Jericho to Lambert. And then Jericho does the shimmy and then hits the frog splash. As a tribute to Eddie Guerrero. That was Eddie tribute number 716 on the night. I love Eddie Guerrero. Don't get me wrong. Same. I understand the significance of it being the 16-year anniversary of his passing and that he unfortunately passed in the same city as the show was happening.
Which, like, I don't care.
I mean, man, eventually there. Someone's going to have a conversation and say, who's doing what? Hello. Hello, Hannah. By the way, I hope you enjoyed the show. We were just talking about your favorite wrestler, Chris Jericho.
And I mean, like, you know, I want to, like, criticize the frog splash, but I kind of don't, because, like, I feel like out of anyone there, like, Chris Jericho might have actually known Eddie the most, like,
yeah, actually JR, thinking about perhaps, it in WCW, so. And yeah, that's a good point. Again, I made the joke. I was like, Cody's going to come out in a low rider as a tribute to Eddie. there we go.
Oh my god.
You need to film it for BTE and see if anything comes of it.
Oh, let his ghost sleep.
Regardless, the match was the match. When they finally realized that it was a street fight, the match was entertaining enough. Again, the silliness of it just kind of overtook it. And a lot of people have been talking about Scorpio Sky versus Sammy Guevara for the TNT title next. Unfortunately, they swapped out Scorpio Sky for the other guy. And yeah, I don't need to see Jay Lethal ever.
Yeah, I had to look up. I assumed what it was because it's pretty consistent.
Yes.
It's like every other wrestler, but yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm not going to go anywhere further. At the end of the day, I don't care about Jay Lethal. I don't need to see him. I've seen him wrestle. It's fine. Sure. As a wrestler, great. Good on you, bud.
He's a Ring of Honor guy, right?
Yeah. It should have been Scorpio Sky.
I feel like so many Ring of Honor guys, to me, it doesn't really work for what I'm interested in wrestling.
You got a problem with Bobby Fish?
Oh, Bobby Fish has been great. I didn't know he was a good wrestler.
Ring of Honor guy, Bobby Fish. You got a problem with Adam Cole? Adam Cole, former Ring of Honor guy. Kyle O'Reilly.
It sounds like Ring of Honor had a heyday, and the more recent Ring of Honor I've watched has been very boring.
So you're right. That's been the problem with Ring of Honor for a while. It's that they have done nothing to replenish the stock of great wrestlers until literally the very end. Now they're starting to get their wrestlers back. They've never been able to promote these guys properly. We're not going to get into the Ring of Honor stuff right now, but there was a heyday, and then NXT came along and took everyone up.
Makes sense. Okay, so yeah. So basically what NXT became was what Ring of Honor was for a period of time.
And that's what Ring of Honor started positioning themselves as.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Was great.
See, that's the thing. I started watching them when we started this podcast, and then I was like, nah.
That's the thing. You also came into it while we were in a pandemic, and therefore everything that made Ring of Honor entertaining kind of went out the window. Like, the crowds were fun when they were full and when they were invested in the matches. But they got to the point where when NXT showed up, Ring of Honor started positioning themselves as the place where NXT wrestlers come from.
See, and okay, yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Without the context, it's just like, what? But now I get a little more. Yeah. I don't know. Jay Lethal has pomp and circumstance mixed into his theme a little bit, I heard.
Yeah, so back in TNA, there's a really, really funny character that Jay Lethal used to do, which was Black Machismo. And it was based on Randy Savage. And it's interesting. He does really good impressions. There's one out there that everyone has seen. If you haven't seen it, you can go find it. Tim and Ric Flair doing a woo-off. Where he
Okay, that's him. Yeah
that's Rick. That's Jay Lethal. Yeah. You may not recognize him now because he has since had his head shaved by one Adam Cole, baby, in Ring of Honor. So that has changed. Either way. There is some entertaining stuff, but let's move along. The men's championship on the line. Kenny Omega taking on Hangman Adam Page. Don Callis, for some reason, is allowed to be in this match, whereas nobody else is.
I found that the conspicuous kind of absence of everyone in this main event a little bit odd, given how much they played into the lead up and everything else. So that was a bit strange to me, but not like a huge deal.
Yeah. And again, a lot of build to what we knew was happening, and there's nothing wrong with that. We knew that it was going to end with Hangman getting the win. They're still playing the game. They're still kind of moving forward in their own little way when it comes to the Hangman story with Kenny Omega. But it was Adam Page's day.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like, some vicious high spots during this match. Like, they did some really good moves.
Yeah, talking about everyone being injured from that scene. But the Dark Order weren't on the card. They could have come down.
The Dark Order really weren't on the card at all. I guess they just really respected Adam Page's desire to do it on his own this one time.
I think that's part of it. And there was a whole lot of, like, just the respect factor of wanting this match to be quote unquote clean, but Don Callis is a piece of shit. So they wanted, you know, Don Callis to get all the heat, which he did. And it was very good job doing that. I mentioned the theory on the watch along when Don Callis is wearing his pink and like red. He's very calm. He's very cool. He's collected. He's in control. When he's in blue or any type of like blue tone, he's in panic mode. You can go back and find that. I guarantee you it's a thing.
You think that Don Callis is telegraphing the finishes with his attire?
I actually do, because Don Callis is the type of person who would do that. Start looking and start going back and watching what was Don Callis wearing when something bad happened. Don't go back and watch everything, because let's face it, like, it's a lot of stuff to watch. But watch when the bad things happen. If he's wearing any sort of blue in his suit, I think that's what it was. But that's my theory. We're going to go back and find out.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Hey, man, let's talk about what people wear in wrestling. That's what I do. Yeah, me too.
It's great. He did have some banging shoes. Love
those. Oh, those shoes are great. I'd love a pair of those. Shoes.
You can give me one day. Yeah, it was a great match. So good. Coronation of Adam Page.
A lot of snapdragon suplexes, a lot of
as one does when you're wrestling Kenny Omega.
That's right. There's that one spot that I thought was funny where Hangman takes off the camera that is on the ring post and then does his little dive, and they don't go through the table. Instead, they go they go adjacent to the table.
Yeah, Hangman almost kissed the table, but that's about as close as he got.
Oh, I hope that they're both okay, because it looked like they both banged their heads on that table. But
I mean, you know, Hangman nearly got his neck broken twice. Like that, that Kenny go fast move with the buckle, like the turnbuckle power bomb thing, sunset flip bomb, whatever.
The one winged angel comes into play. It's not coming from Kenny onto Page. It comes from Page onto Kenny, and Kenny kicks out of his own finish, as he should. But we didn't get that moment, Tim.
I appreciate the troll on this.
Yeah?
I don't care whether or not another person kicks out of the One Winged Angel. Like, I'm fine with them protecting it. And I don't think that they needed to do something special like that for Hangman. Like,
Kota Ibushi.
Oh, no. They're saving it for Cody.
They're saving it for Cody. Yes, they are, actually. Let's do that. Yeah. The only people who can kick out are people whose names are Kota or Cody.
There you go.
There we go. Poetic, Dakota Kai is also going to kick out of the One-Winged Angel when she comes over to AEW. It was, again, very good match. There were a lot of moments in there. The Buckshot Lariat was another piece of the puzzle that they put together. Who hits what and who hits it when. Both men used it, and clearly Page ends up winning. He got the Buckshot Lariat off on Omega after hitting him with that One-Winged Angel and a V-trigger, and it was everything.
It's just too plausible. I know it hurts.
New AEW champion Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah, it's great. Well, with a little bit of as Bix put it, Matt Jackson face acting.
Yes, and you know what? I didn't hate it. You had the Bucks. They did come out towards the end of the match.
Yeah, I didn't.
Looking all hurt and bruised and painful.
They did look very hurt. I'll give them their face acting that. They came out and they looked like broken men. This is their slow limp with that tight shot. Like
they lost the match. Matt took the pin. On top of that, they're watching their leader currently go down to Hangman Adam Page. There's a good story in there. There's something that you can tell. And Kenny's going to need some time off moving forward, in my opinion.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good lag. Do it. You can do it. Do it.
Dark Order comes out. They celebrate. We go off the air. A good night. A good show. Yeah. And overall, I think we were rewarded for the most part. Again, we talked about some of the not so great. But overall, do you think this match, was this better than All Out? Was this worse? What did you think overall compared to the last pay-per-view?
I think All Out was a little better. I think this opened and closed very strong.
I agree. Like, yeah.
Yeah. There were some people buzzing about, I talked about this on the watch along. Like I saw some memes about like, we could see three title changes tonight. I was like, are you an idiot? Like there's no chance in hell. You're seeing one at best and a very likely one. And you got one. And that makes sense.
When we previewed the show, we said the same thing. This is going to be a season finale type of pay-per-view. We weren't close. The only chapter was we were closing were the pertinent ones. And that's what it felt like we did.
Yeah, and like, you know, I thought it was good overall. I was disappointed. I had hyped myself up a little bit much for some things. Like, and that's what it is, right? Like, I can't say it's totally on them. It's just I had high expectations for certain things that didn't deliver. And then, you know, a few things absolutely met my expectations. That was good.
If we continue to hit your expectations with us, how about you leave a thumbs up on this video? Leave us a comment. You can subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And by the way, if you share the video around, I tell you, that helps us a lot, friends. Mm-hmm. And also our Discord. Go ahead, join it. There's a link in the description. We talk all day about wrestling. It's fun. Let's very quickly, just from Rampage, stuff that doesn't hit onto the All Out side, or not All Out side, the Full Gear side of things. Jungle Boy and the infamous Bobby Fish had themselves a good opening match. Again, enjoyable. I don't think I have much to add about it, other than after the match you had Cole come out, hug his buddy, and then they go for the beatdown, and then we do the six man, blah blah blah. That's fine. Anything else from Rampage in that match that you like?
That one, no, that's fine. Bobby Fish doing good work.
Santana Garrett was brought back for a match for some reason. She takes on Jade Cargill. There's a cake. Tim, it was not a red velvet cake. It was a chocolate cake. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with us? Why can't we have a red velvet cake with red velvet hanging around?
I'm tired of cake references. It's not an identity.
Can someone buy me a cake?
No.
I'll eat it too.
Earn it. Get us to 1,000 subscribers, then I'll buy you a cake.
Could we do that? We'll get a cake. It's 1,000 subscribers. There you go. Go ahead. Subscribe to us. Tell your friends to subscribe. We'll get you all cake. Listen, the match happened. The whole point here was to get Red Velvet, Jade Cargill doing their thing. Sure. I didn't really have much else to say about the match. It just came in, came out. That was it. Dante Martin and Arya Daivari, I loved this match. Not only did they go ham, but both men are local. Again, going back to TK, spent the entire weekend pumping up Dante Martin, putting him on Rampage, putting him on the buy-in, putting him in the media scrums, which I thought was a smart move. I really think giving him different reps works really well.
Yeah, and it was really nice to see Arya like show his stuff in this too. I thought it was really good. Like it was an excellent match, probably the best one on Rampage.
Yeah, absolutely. And then after that, we had Powerhouse Hobbs and Hook giving a contract offer to Dante Martin, and Ricky Starks is stuck at the top of the ramp at the announce position because his headphones got stuck in his gold chain.
I'll say this again. I mentioned it on our last show. I mentioned it on the watch along. I really don't like having wrestlers in the storyline do all this commentary. Like, it's fine when it's in a, you know, a special guest thing, but like having Ricky Starks and Taz at the same table week after week, and they're in a stable doing the story advancement, I just don't care for it at all. I find it kind of annoying. And then also Jericho, who is a story wrestler, also just shouting at people.
Shouting over people.
And he's got, you know, and he has all of the, like, they're all tainted by their in-story stuff that they have to keep hitting. And it's minimizing the impact of the commentary for me. Like, I really just wish it was Excalibur and Taz. And Taz would stop being on TV if he wants to be on commentary.
Well, things that never end, they only continue on, was the main event. Orange Cassidy, Matt Hardy in a lumberjack match. Before the match, I love this. They do the split screen with our friend Mark Henry. And Matt Hardy does his thing and he talks. And then Orange Cassidy's just like, listen, man, I'm done with this shit. Is this it? Like, are we done? I'm over.
Can this be over when this is over?
Yeah.
You've got my friends dressed up like lumberjacks. I can't anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, my favorite whole, like, of this whole lumberjack thing, the only people wearing lumberjack outfits were the only faces who were lumberjacks in the match.
Yep. Matt Hardy had just paid off everybody else.
And the feud should have ended with the lumberjack match. But instead, we're going to keep going because at the beginning of the match, Hardy's like, I will give $3,000 to anyone who something, something, something takes knocks out Orange Cassidy.
Knocks his teeth out. Something like sure. that. Like,
there were so many ridiculous things in this match that made me laugh. But at the end of the day, Matt Hardy won, and this feud is going to continue because we found out last night on the pay-per-view that it's going to be Butcher and Blade, who are part of Hardy Family Office, taking on Orange Cassidy and Tomohiro Ishii, which that's cool. That's great. The joining Chaos was fun.
Sure. But it's meaningless to me.
Like, because it's all leading to a 10-man tag, like New Japan style, with Chaos, America, like, and Okada, yeah, and Ishii taking on Hardy Family Offices.
Oh my god. I feel like some of the ways we're getting to these things is just so, like, ham-fisted. I don't know.
it's convoluted. It is in some ways.
Yeah.
They take out the Brass Knucks and so you've got members, I think it was the Blade, taking out every male member of Best Friends. And just punching them out. And then Bunny runs over and is like, give me the Knucks, give me the Knucks. And she knocks out Chris Statlander.
Yeah. That's the thing. So much, like, it was funny. It really was funny. It's just, it just keeps going.
It was a solid show. And again, and that's the thing. Matt Hardy continues to do excellent work because he was in the crowd at Dynamite, cutting promos, taking videos, posting them. It was entertaining AF. Like, I can't say a negative thing about Matt Hardy's work in AEW. He's at least trying to do the best work he can, given his character.
Yeah, and I think Big Money Matt Hardy is a decent character. I just think that's improperly used right now.
Yeah, I hear you. So that's Rampage. Again, that was the night before last night's Full Gear pay-per-view. AEW overall for the last few nights had some good showings. Very excited for them.
Very solid.
Let's talk about SmackDown and then we can get out of here.
I will do my best.
So next week we have the Can They Coexist party on pay-per-view. What do we open up with? It was the women's Survivor Series team
is being messed with unnecessarily.
So all they do this whole thing where the women are all standing in the ring except for Sasha. They're introducing Aaliyah and she gets to do her opener her intro where she's on the top of the ring and she does the flippy into the ring. Meanwhile, all the other women are just standing there respectfully.
Like, awkwardly.
And then Sonya Deville introduces everyone and then introduces Sasha Banks on her own, who comes out, does her own thing. And then it turns into a 6-woman tag because Naomi's upset. Because she's not on the team.
Rightfully so.
So we have Sasha Banks, Naomi, and Aaliyah taking on Baszler, Natalya, and Shotzi. Natty in this match is basically just there to A, take the pin, and B, do all the moves while Shayna Baszler does all the tap snap stuff.
So is Sasha Banks really a face?
According to them, she is.
I don't get it.
Neither do I. And she might actually win the women's title next week. I don't know.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's very strange. Aaliyah wins the match because they're absolutely trying to showcase Aaliyah, and she throws up a little bit after the match, the poor girl. It's her first. Did you see this?
No.
Happened in the background at the end of the,
oh my God.
At the end of the match, as they're celebrating after all of the reviews, like all the replays, you kind of see her turn around and she kind of just a little bit because she's excited. It is what it is.
Okay.
You don't really see it, but you can see it on the mat.
It's difficult for me. Never excited puked.
But. Her debut match, she's got some nerves. She's been in this product for 7 years, and this is her first chance to make a
difference.
Finally
gets to do something.
I'd be excited too. Anyway, so she wins. and then we go to the back, and Aaliyah's like, I'm super stoked. Oh my God, I did it. And later on in the night, we find out, well, no, you didn't do it because I'm taking you out of the damn team. What are we doing? Instead of building up qualifying matches, they're just building up tearing people out of the matches that they announced people being in. It's not storytelling, Tim.
Less than 2 weeks away.
Buddy, we're less than a week away. We are one.
No, 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 no. I mean like on Friday.
Oh, gotcha. We were 10 days away then. My goodness. Yeah. So now they got to replace her. And I assume it's going to be something like Naomi and Sonya Deville, or Naomi versus Aaliyah, and the winner gets into the match. If they do Naomi versus Aaliyah and the winner gets put into the Survivor Series women's team, it's good. Naomi's going to get screwed and Aaliyah's going to win her way back onto the team.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn. He's in
another poor bastard.
And he's I am the captain now. And meanwhile, Jeff Hardy is sitting there in the back and he's just like, with his eyes closed, he's like, no, you're not. You suck.
You both suck. Everyone calm down.
I mean, he actually says about his speech, he's like, it sucked. It sucked real bad. And I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what I expected.
Yeah.
Oh, so now they're going to have a match, and we'll get to that in a second. There were only like 3 matches, I think, on the show, or 4 matches.
It's all a blur.
Hilarious. Reigns and Kayla, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to talk about that. Not going to talk about Madcap and Corbin cutting a promo. Los Lotharios, Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo. They take on Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura. By the way, Tim, do you know who the Intercontinental Champion is?
It's Shinsuke Nakamura, you despite bet. What you would believe.
Do you know the last time he defended that title?
I believe you said September.
Yes, late in September. The watch along. He also had a match against Happy Corbin in a championship contenders match in which Happy Corbin won, and they have not played that out. But of course, they didn't do that for Shotzi and Knox either.
Did he get pinned 3. Here?
Yes, and then they pinned Shinsuke. We're going to start calling him Pinsuke Nakamura because he can't win a damn match. I mean,
basically, yeah.
Yes, Moss and Corbin cut a promo and it wasn't.
I also don't remember this at all.
Very quick with a bad joke. Not
good. Oh, okay.
So Los Lotharios win, and yeah, there we go. Not much to say there.
I guess they're building that one tag team they build at a time.
So this was the piece of the night where everyone was very upset and confused. We're in the back. Adam Pearce is standing there with Sonya Deville and talking about taking Aaliyah off the team to make the women's team stronger. And then Zayn walks in and he's like, I got problems with Team SmackDown. And then he demands that Hardy be removed from the team. Pearce says Zayn will face Hardy tonight. Loser is off the team. And there's a big guy standing next to Adam Pearce, just looking like this. And they pay no attention to him. Tim, why is Van Wagner currently on SmackDown?
Because he's what gets Vince excited.
Good point. He is a big man. He's very tall. God damn.
With a prominent brow. He sure does love a big man with a prominent brow.
Just very protruding.
Neanderthalic, I might.
It's very out there. So for some reason Van Wagner is on SmackDown but not officially on SmackDown. Tim, if they do the same thing that they did with him in NXT where they shoehorned him into the Fatal 4-Way for a title and they shoehorned him into a five-man t- team, I will cackle.
There's no way he's on the Survivor Series team. That would be insane. No way.
So later on in the evening, Sami Zayn and Matt Hardy have a match. Jeff Hardy. And Jeff Hardy wins, and Sami Zayn is off the Survivor Series team that I forgot he was even on in the first place.
But he was, of course he was. He deserves to be. He's Sami Zayn.
Going back to Van Wagner, by the way, yes, that basically shuts the door on Kyle O'Reilly's time in WWE.
Yeah, that was indicative.
To the surprise of nobody, if he's done at the end of the month, December 1st, wherever Dynamite is that week, he will be there. And December 1st is a Wednesday, so you will almost definitely see him wherever they're in Duluth. Steven Jensen, who is my co-host on Fightful Gaming, he will be at that show, and he is a big Kyle arriving in advance. Congratulations, Steven Jensen, on viewing the live debut in AEW of Kyle O'Reilly. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, delightful.
That's so ridiculous. Charlotte comes out. She has a promo. They broke their rule, Tim. Remember the rule I told you about pay-per-view builds and people coming out at random? Do you remember the rule I told you?
I don't.
Out of sight, out of mind. They broke that rule. Toni Storm came out and she's like, I think I deserve a title shot. And Charlotte's like, nope. And she leaves.
Which is like, yeah, I don't know why you think that.
Not before she gives a whole promo based around the word
Oh,
that was so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think none of this is good.
She's a heel who makes fun of the crowd, and then suddenly she wants the crowd to get in on her uh-oh thing.
Charlotte Flair's nuts.
She's unhinged.
That's my takeaway. She ain't
Charlotte
right.
Flair unleashed. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I honestly think that they should just have Charlotte and Sasha next week on SmackDown and have Sasha win the title and then just do Sasha and Becky.
Do it. I don't know. Sure. Why not? Let's just have the same 3 to 4 women fighting over and over again forever. Yeah,
that sounds about right. Toni Storm will have a match against Charlotte. She'll probably lose.
Probably lose. Yeah.
And if she wins, what are they going to do? They're going to then give her a title shot. And then what's she going to do? Friends, we like wrestling. We really do. This is just one time where like the show had moments. I like that the women were being used. I like that they were trying to tell stories, but man, did they tell them the wrong way. Very, very strange way of getting to the next steps. She doesn't have to be. You can replace her. You can replace Sasha on the Survivor Series team. Have her win. They're replacing everybody else in the damn team. What does it matter? The teams mean nothing. Brand loyalty means nothing. Aaliyah is back. She's on her phone. She's upset. She's like, Dad, they took me off the team and now I'm sad. And then Ali comes out and he's like, I'll be your daddy. Sorry, that's not what happens. That's a video I saw one time on the internet. And then Ali's just like, no, like this is what they do to us. This is how things go. And then Ricochet is like, no, that's not what happens. And Ali's like, well, you're a dumb bitch. And then they leave together.
He's Aaliyah
and Ricochet.
That's dumb. They are dumb. They're both dumb. Ali is correct. This is what they do to you.
If I am Aaliyah in this situation and Ricochet comes up to me and he's like, he's wrong, I go with Ali because it's not like Ricochet's doing much better. At least Ali has he makes the points.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Boy, what a show.
Do you want to talk about Hit Row and Shanky and Mahal?
Hit Row is dead to me. Shame that they got screwed so furiously. I don't care what they do with them now because it's just not going to be as good. The joke is that, rap. Here's some guys who can't rap.
The real Slim Shanky.
Sure.
Big fan.
It was fine.
I think
it would be better if either of them were going to be used for anything interesting ever, but neither group will be.
All I'm saying is King Jinder would have never let any of this shit pass.
Here we are.
By the way, him saying cringe row, I think he's absolutely right now. Because they screwed it. They getting rid of B-Fab was a dumb move.
So dumb. So here we are. And they're just going to keep doing dumb bits that will be quickly forgotten.
Speaking of dumb bits, Rich Holland comes out and he's got his little black dildo bat.
Oh my God. Yeah, he sure does.
And he's Sheamus's bestie. And he's like, hey, Sheamus is coming to SmackDown. And Sheamus is going to be our savior. And we love Sheamus. All hail Sheamus. And then Cesaro's like, buddy, I know Sheamus. We used to tag together. We and now it's going to turn into, now we're gonna fight for Sheamus's love. Remember when we thought this whole Ridge Holland thing was going to be, we get to Ridge versus Drew McIntyre, and then Drew McIntyre beats Ridge Holland, and then Sheamus comes out, and it's Sheamus versus Drew, and we would have been like, this is really neat. They just flubbed it this week.
Yeah, there's nothing here.
It's going to be Cesaro and Drew versus Holland and Sheamus.
I saw someone compare this to Mickey James's debut. I was like,
maybe. Oh my God, it is.
Like, it's
little black dildo bat.
Yeah, it's. I don't care for this either.
Just a very strange way to go. I don't know what they think they're going to do with it, but I guess Sheamus will be back next week because they say Holland says Sheamus will be
Ridge
here
Holland
next week.
Knows his schedule, apparently.
That means he's a better friend than Sheamus.
Agreed, yeah. Like,
or just a better secretary.
Cesaro, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what else are we doing here? We get to the main event. It's Roman Reigns versus King Woods. I love this. We have... Graphics package. Reigns comes out, another graphics package. We go to commercial, we come back, there's a graphics package, and then Reigns in the ring, and then Xavier Woods comes out.
This is where most of the show disappeared.
11 minutes for that match, by the way, bell to bell, and like 15 minutes on entrances.
Sure did make Xavier Woods look dumb.
They also, though, they're now promoting this as Roman Reigns' first singles loss since coming back to WWE, because technically he lost. Because the Usos got involved in him. As Woods was about to pin 3.
That's dumb. This is dumb. It basically just said Big E's got to save him.
And that'll happen next week when the blue shirts and the red shirts come out to play. Whatever, the match was fine. It was just very frustrating to see that finish happen that way. I don't know what they were thinking. It was not good. That's the match, but not before someone's got a new crown.
That crown looks like crap. I said it looks like the BK cardboard crowns realized.
Oh dear.
But I don't know. They keep making crap props. So here we are.
So the crown, we have the Usos putting it on Reigns as Reigns took the knee to take the crown and then be all happy that he's the king. You should see Roman in a crown. It's a Billie Eilish reference.
I know.
Someone should take a screenshot of Tim's face. That's right. He was dejected and upset and over it.
Remember when Roman Reigns' storyline was good?
I do. That was
Remember all those excellent storylines we pitched where Naomi joined and stuff?
Yeah. I do remember that. Do you remember next week when we'll be talking about Raw and NXT on Wednesday, and on Sunday we'll be previewing the Survivor Series and can they coexist? And I will use that video incessantly.
I might flip a coin for every match and use that as my prediction.
That's actually a good idea. Let's do that. That's the bit.
I think, yeah, because like it doesn't matter.
let's get one of those choice wheels.
Yeah,
the ones that spin around. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Good stuff. That's how we'll do the predictions.
Yeah.
Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Oh, they can find me at Tim Stone, PTIMBSTONEP, Twitter, Instagram.
Show is at Tim and Joel Pod. That's everywhere on socials. TimandJoelPod.com takes you to YouTube.com/TimandJoelPod, where you can subscribe to this channel right here, where you can toss a thumbs up on the video, where you can leave a comment because you love us so much. If you're listening to us in audio form, hi. I hope you like our sultry voices. And I hope that you leave a 5-star review for us as we get to the end of this gimmick. Our Discord's open, ready for you. It's in the link in the video description on YouTube. Until then, I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you on Wednesday at noon Eastern for new Tim and Joel Pod. Have a wonderful Sunday. Good night.